time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. We back. Crystal clear in your ear. You already know what it is. Brother Muhammad, what's good with you?
Man, everything cool, man. Just getting it in early in the week, putting in the work, initiating the deals, finishing up the deals.
Nice.
And prepping, you know what I'm saying? I feel like the fall is going to be a good time of year for me.
Okay.
I can't promise you why, because I don't know, but I just keep getting these fall sensations, you know what I'm saying? You know how you like be in somewhere and be like, and it don't feel like it, like with a feeling, but the feeling inside feel like, damn, the fall, you know what I'm saying? Just the way the weather be, the way the leaves look, just that time of year, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, fall is a lot of times when I get busy, so something is saying something about the fall. I can't tell you why. It's strange, and I know it's crazy, but that's what I feel like.
No, I get it. I get it. It ain't strange. It's a feeling. Sometimes you gotta just lean into that shit and prepare for the surprise, right? I've been reading right. And listening to a couple like books in that realm, business and maybe even mystical. But, you know, they like, you know, sometimes you don't see where the blessing's going to come from. As long as you putting in the work, you know, something's working in your favor. You know, that's when you got to trust the universe. Not to sound all woo-woo, but,
yeah,
you know.
Man, but, you know, as one of them old titles from the podcast years ago, the magic's in the woo-woo.
There it is. There you go. There you go. The magic is there. So that's what's up. That's good. Yeah, man.
So I'm looking forward to that magic. You know what I'm saying? You know, September is my birthday season.
Okay.
You know, it's something in the air, man. That's all.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah, man. That's good to hear, man. My day's been going good today. Today I had a good day. I said my day has been going good today. I mean, I've been having a few good days, actually. We'll talk about it. But like just today, it just is clicking a little bit. You know what I mean? It's clicking a good amount. I did another matinee. Went to go see Weapons. That shit was cool. That shit was all right. It was all right. It's by the same director that did Barbarian. Let me find out this kid's name. Krieger or something like that. His name is Zach Krieger. He did a movie called Barbarian. I think I talked about it on the pod a couple years ago. Kind of like a horror film, you know what I mean? But it had a little offbeat vibe to it. It was a black woman that was in the lead. I can't remember her name. I don't think I've seen her much. She's kind of newer. Well, if I have seen her much, I didn't recognize her from, you know, whatever, but it was different enough to where I was like, this shit is weird and I like it. And when I heard the kid had another joint out, I was like, because that was his first feature, I was like, all right, let me go see what this kid is doing. It feels good to kind of buy into certain creators early in their career, you know what I'm saying? Especially when they brand new and they, you know, they establishing their self and their style and all of that. So this one was interesting. Another little horror film. And I'm not even a big horror cat, but it's like kind of like old school horror where it's not about the gore. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of gore in it, but it's more about the, you know, like the heightened suspense and the drama, and then, you know, to the point where you kind of on the edge of your seat and some shit goes, oh, you're like, oh shit, you know what I mean, like that, you know, not me, because I'm, you know, I'm thug, but you know, but it was like, it's kind of like keep you guessing and shit like that. And how they told the story, they like told it through the eyes of about five different characters, storylines. They, you know, it was an interesting thing. I got to the theater like 10 minutes late based on what I was talking last week. Mm-hmm. That shit that I was popping about. Listen, now that they tell you you got 25 to 30 minutes of trailers, mm-hmm. that you don't really need to be in your seat at the time. So I tried to leverage that and played myself and kind of missed the first 10 minutes of it. Damn. But yeah, I hate that. You know, I hate to miss the beginning of a movie. You know what I mean? But fortunately, I don't think I missed too much. And like I said, since they do it through so many different storylines, it kind of reset the table. So whatever you did miss gets covered from another perspective. So I felt pretty good about that. Overall, it was good. The ending felt a little abrupt. Mm-hmm. Like, it was resolution, but like, not much explanation. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So, but it was what it was. I enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying? Matinee situation. Did that. I'm going to go see Highest to Lowest this week. The new Denzel and Spike joint. I'm excited about that. Hope that shit is good.
You fully they haven't in your missed routine. Yet.
Yeah, huh?
You fully in your routine.
Yeah, that's... Well, I'm not going to see that on the Tuesday. I'm going to see that on the Real Deal Friday situation. Oh, okay. But yeah. I'm excited about that. That should be good. For beyond that, so I got back. And shit just clicking. You know how I went to go do some grocery shop. I ran down to the Whole Foods or whatever. And this is crazy shit. I guess I was so kind of caught up in the grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. I was went to the one in Time Warner Center. I walked out of Time Warner Center with the full Whole Foods bucket. You know the shit that you if you don't get a cart, you get the little bucket. Not the buggy, but the little basket. The plastic basket. Nigga, I'm about to cross the street. And I paid for the food. I paid for the food and I just threw the shit in the little thing just to kind of consolidate it. And I didn't even realize it as I'm walking to the escalator. Go ahead and put the basket there. I go through the revolving door with some older women that couldn't get through the revolving door. So I'm like helping them get through the revolving door. And I guess I got preoccupied and I'm literally about to walk across the street. And I said, yo, oh, wow. And I was tempted. I was like, damn, should I keep this shit or some souvenirs, some petty theft shit? But I was like,
with nowhere to put it.
Yeah, it's more clutter at the crib. It don't make no sense. Because I've come across that. It's happened to me once before. I did that at Target one time. Like, I can't. This is back before the boycott. This is years ago, y'all. But anyway, we could need some more information on this boycott because that nigga getting a little shaky. I mean, come on, Jamal, talk to us. Anyway, I walked out again. I had the bucket, and there was a moment, and it was a nice looking bucket. Sometimes the Whole Foods bucket looked like that shit was used and abused, but this Target looked like it was a brand new Target joint, and it felt like in the same way, you know, people kill wildlife and they just put the heads on their fucking on their wall. I was like, let me go ahead and body this bucket real quick. But I said, I don't need this shit. What am I doing? Not the least. So I left it there.
Walking around like a grifter.
Yeah, basically. Yo, grifter is one of the best descriptions of a scammer. You know what I mean? I love that it's taking off a grift. Grifter sound worse than a scammer. Scammers sound like you at least got some Versace shades and some Margiela shoes, but a grifter, that nigga sound like, yeah, a little dusty.
Yeah, nigga, you got to carry your clothes around the city.
Yeah. Old school with the little kerchiefs tied to the stick. Yeah. Remember them old hobo looking motherfuckers?
Yeah. Jumping trains and shit.
Exactly. But yeah, go ahead. Nah, I was just going to say, so I got back to the crib, cooking, but the fly shit is, this is what I'm saying, like things is just hitting, like it's all in a good time. And you know, like when you, sometimes it happens when like your groceries and your leftovers, they line up to where it all like expires, like in sync, like not even expires, but it's like right right, you really get to use everything. Like sometimes I'll buy some salad, you know, the little lettuce in the little clam shell. And that shit just wilt up on me. I never got to make a salad. I was busting these salads down, so I had just a little bit left right before that shit turned. I had some chicken, the last part of some chicken that I made. I threw that shit in there, and that little meal came together, and that shit felt like a first-time meal. It didn't even feel like a leftover meal. Mm. It's just a nice little series of small victories so far.
No, but that's the shit that creates the momentum.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? When you walk out with your chest all out, you know what I'm saying, breathing the air like Marvin. Facing obstacles, you ain't even worried about them. You know what I'm saying? You're going knowing everything going to be all right because it's already the signs that done told you it's all right.
Yeah. So,
nah, you love that, man. You love that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm having little victories my own self, man. You know what I'm saying? Nothing that specific, man. It's just all spiritual feelings. You understand? You know what I mean? Yeah. You move and the world moves with you. So I understand what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I don't have nothing to point to. My groceries ain't lined up. You know what I'm saying? My spinach is in there wilted. But
that's all right.
But life in the world is life in a good way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
as long as you ain't wilted, it's good.
No. I'm not wilted at all, man. I'm stronger than ever. You know what I'm saying? At least as strong as I've been in the last 2 years. So I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing good with it. This weekend was Be Out Day, which is a FAMU event that you know, I guess some alumni kind of co-opted the name and took it to other cities.
Okay.
Because Be Out Day is like, it's some stuff. It's an event that happens on campus, and it was in. They came up with it when I was there. The SGA president Daryl Parks, who was, you know, Attorney Crump's partner. They're not partners no more, but that when Attorney Crump first came on the scene, it was Parks and Crump doing it together. But I don't think Parks wanted to do the Justice Warrior thing. So it was Parks, Daryl Parks, and Keisha Walker. They were the SGA president and vice president. And Keisha Walker went on to be a event maven, still doing it. Big clients, corporate clients doing events all over. Super Bowl, Essence, All-Star. You know what I'm saying? But they created this event where basically, they gave the student population free chicken on the barbecue, you know what I'm saying, music, a good time on a regular day. It wasn't like some special day. It was just Be Out Day. It was probably like a Wednesday or some shit, you know what I'm saying? And when you're in the dorm on Wednesday, that's a good deal. Like, let me go out here and get me a plate, you know? So I guess this alumni, which is probably a lot younger than me, kind of co-opted the name, and they do one in Atlanta. I think they do another one in Miami. So they had that this weekend. It was cool. You know what I'm saying? You had the stage. You had the people. Me and my sister had a tent. And, you know, people came through. We had some food, a little drink. And, you know, but it wasn't a lot of alumni from my era. It was a few. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't a lot. So it was more soaking up the vibe, doing those kind of things. You know what I mean? Seeing the people do all, you know, they was playing all of the music from FAMU. So it was a lot of Miami music, a lot of Florida music, which at a certain point, my little sister, big manager, was like, I know they're going to play the Wu-Tang. Because they play all Chip other songs. They play, you know, Beam High, you know, Sticking and Rolling. And she's like, I know they're going to play Wu-Tang. And I thought they was too, but they never got to it. So then it spawned back around into another Miami set. And then she was like, fuck that. I'm going up there and making them play it. I'm like, okay. She was serious about that shit. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang. So I don't know what she told him, but she told him something, man. He put that shit right on. So that was cool. So they got a video of them trying to hype me up while I was on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, my man B asked me, was it like the Five Heartbeats story when they heard the song on the radio? I'm like, hey, not in this moment, because that song been around since 2007. You know what I mean? So I posted the moment when I did feel like that, when D-Wade and LeBron was dancing to it at Alonzo Mourning event at the Miami Arena. I mean, at the American Airlines. So you know, but it got a chance for me to post it, you know what I'm saying? Because most people didn't even, don't associate me with it, you know what I'm saying? So right. I was like a little known fact, you know what I mean? I produced this Miami classic, you know what I mean? So that was cool. And it became a lot of income. And like, damn, I didn't even know you, you know what I mean? I didn't know you could produce. I didn't know, you know what I mean? I didn't know you was part of that song. So that was cool because it brought in people that you could have a conversation with about something totally different than what a lot of people know you from in that space. You know what I mean? So that was cool. That was a big deal. And so I guess I did have some little wins. You know what I mean? That was a good win. That was a good win. You know what I mean?
That's classic shit. That's a classic. Yeah, dog. That's fire. That's fire, man. I saw that story, and then I think the last video was you in the stew. Was that an old video, or is that you current day in the stew right cooking
now.
Up?
That's right. Okay. Now. I mean, okay. That wasn't yesterday, but it was a couple weeks back.
Okay.
Cooking back, up. Back. You know what I'm saying? A track. It's actually, you know what I'm saying? I was working on his album, and then he kind of, you know, stopped working because he had a lot of death in his family. So I was just pulling up some shit, and then I came across that beat, and I started putting it together. And so I just put that video to it. I was going to post it a while back, but it was kind of like out of the blue. So at the end of that story, I was just like, shit, we still at it, you know, and posted that one beat. And it ain't got no name or no shit like that yet. But, yeah, again, it got incoming, you know what I'm saying? And my man, my man Tabby Bonet, he hit me up, you know what I'm saying? He's an artist, too, you know what I mean?
DC legend,
you know what I'm saying? International businessman now and still rap, you know what I mean? Okay. He was like one of them guys that was like, we might have been 30-something, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And he was a school teacher. And then one day he was just like, yeah, man, I'm going to quit and do my album. And I was like, where? You know what I'm saying? Because you never hear people doing that shit. And then you never hear people doing it and it actually working. You know what I mean? And that nigga took off as an artist. That's what niggas knew him as an artist. You know what I mean?
Wow. So, so that started, his artist career started after he was a teacher?
Well, he was rapping when he was in college. He was rapping. Okay, he was rapping in a group, Organized Noise. Not Organized. God damn it. Organized something.
That's Confusion.
Damn. Not Organized Confusion. It was Organized Rhyme. That's what it's called. Organized Rhyme.
Okay,
Hazeek Ali and Tabby Bonet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he was rapping in college, but then, you know, when you get grown, you feel like you got to be grown. Go get a job and be grown. You know what I'm saying? Because you got bills and shit. You know, you got parents. Like, nigga, I paid all this money for college. Nigga, go be grown.
Right.
And that nigga quit and just went to rapping. And I was like, yo, I'm old. You know what I'm saying? And shit, every time we had a movie, he always throw me records. I put him in the movies. You know what I'm saying? He went on to have a successful career. You know?
Yeah, I forget the name. What was the name of the one record he had with the slang? It was like a... It was a slang term.
Sice it?
I know Sice it, but was that the name of the rap? No, it was something else.
I forget.
Yeah, man. Shout out. And no, you got me in the pocket. Was that the shit?
Put me in the pocket.
Yeah. Shout out to Tabby Bubba.
Yeah, I put that was in one of them movies too. Put it in the pocket.
Yeah. I remember that shit. Oh, shit.
He was on the Yard Fest. We was doing all kind of shit with Tabby.
Yeah, man.
But then he called, and then it reminded me, I got, his dad is an artist. Well, it was an artist. His dad, rest in peace, was an artist. Itadi Bonet, a Togo artist in Africa doing like the 70s, 80s Afro beats type shit. So I got a beat with a sample from one of his pops records, you know what I'm saying, that I never finished. And I told him about it. He was like, yo, I didn't know you had nothing to do with that song. I was like, yo, I actually got another one that we haven't even finished, but it got your pops beat as the sample. And he was like, yo, send me that shit. So I got to pull it up, send it to him. So, you know, it opened up a new lane of conversations, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That I didn't usually have conversations. I did that shit on the low for real. You know what I mean? And now I'm just having conversations about it. You know what I mean? We're going to see where it go.
That's what's up. How long does it take you typically to make a beat?
Oh, man. I ain't even in the... I haven't even made a beat in a few years. You know what I'm saying? I got all them beats I had before that I'm just tweaking now. And I'm learning the... I'm learning the Fruity Loops so that I could do the new ones. You know what I'm saying? I'm not... I haven't started yet, but you know what I'm saying? That's what I got the Fruity Loops for, is to do the new beats. And so... but you know, sometimes a beat might take 15 minutes. Sometimes a beat might take all week. Just depending on how you want to do it and how you, if it's coming out right. And see, it's different when you a producer that ain't got a steady flow of records coming out. You know what I'm saying? A nigga with steady flow of records coming out, that nigga making beats and putting them out. You know what I'm saying? A nigga who is the flow isn't as steady, he making the beats, overthinking it, remaking the beat, doing it again. You know what I'm saying? So it's different, you know what I mean? But for me, at a certain point, after a nigga got grown and had bills and was working and doing all kind of shit, it became more about making the beats was almost like meditation. You know what I'm saying? Making the beats is like a book. Because with a book, you can use, you can read the words and it take you places where your mind wasn't at, right? Mm-hmm. When you make a beat, that music is taking your mind places where it ain't never been. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't specific. It's just shit that's just coming to your head just based off of the music itself. And that shit is a trip. You know what I mean? It's like you being that motherfucker just in a whole nother world. You creating the world as you're doing it. And I assume as a rapper, you doing the same shit. You making these words. You're actually building the world with these words. And it's the same thing with music. Like, damn, I put this sound in here. Oh, shit. Oh, that's gonna set it off. So you already putting in your mind what that music could do in the now. But at the same time, collectively, you're building this world that hasn't been seen. You ain't never seen it before, and laying it out there. I don't even know if that makes sense, but that's what happens.
That makes sense. Again, same thing. It's the feeling. It's the feeling. You just follow the feeling.
Right. So when I got to New York and I was working, and you know, we going back to LA back and forth, it wasn't a lot of, you know, making beats take time. You know, you need time, unsolicited time where ain't nobody fucking with you. You can't make a beat in every hour. You got to do something. You know what I'm saying? So when you get grown, I just use that time at night after work, after everybody go to bed, use that time to just transport yourself to another world, this world of your making, you know? So that was what it was more about for me for a long time until Chip wanted to do something. And so I brought him to New York, and he had a couple songs he wanted to do, and then he was telling me about this new dance that these niggas was doing in Miami that they got from, they were in Baltimore. I know now the beef on the internet is Philly, like we created the dance, everybody just jacking our shit. But these guys actually saw it in Baltimore. And so the Miami Wu-Tang that everybody see is really based off of a girl that was in Baltimore doing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he said, I saw this dance, I want to make a song for it. And I was like, cool. And so we sat down, watched the goddamn YouTube, saw what they was doing, what they was doing it to. And then we kind of mixed up a Philly, Jersey, Baltimore type beat with a Miami beat and let him do his thing. And with him telling everybody how to do the dance, because that's his thing, it kind of usurped the whole movement, you know what I'm saying, and put it to that song. And, you know, the Philly people, they do it totally differently to a totally different type of music. And they got their own shit. Then Baltimore do it to their own type shit. So it was just the Miami version, but it had words to it that told you how to do it. And it took off.
That's what's up.
Okay. So now people are calling me a one-hit wonder and shit. So now I got to do it again.
That's funny. That is funny. Oh shit.
So yeah, so that's what it was. So they played Wu-Tang. We was out there with the FAMU people, you know what I'm saying, doing our thing. Yeah. Shout out to Nina Packer, you know what I'm saying, manager extraordinaire, you know what I'm saying, bullying Dame Dash and the DJ and shit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Get your record played in here. Rockets going on here. Now, that's so, what's up, man.
So I did have a couple wins, man. It's funny, man, because when you take L's, it's hard to recognize the wins sometimes. Mm. And not that I've been taking L's, but, you know, it's just a L of the way I thought I knew it to where it is now. Feels like an L. So it's hard to see the wins because the major thing that you want and the thing that you're trying to fix ain't fixed yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So thanks for, you know, talking about your wins because that helps the momentum.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the wins feel good. Wins feel good, you know what I mean? For sure. Especially after a couple laps. You know what I mean? It's definitely that shit feel like cool ice water in the humidity, in the deep humidity. But yeah, man. I'm trying to think what else is going on. I went out to I moved around a little bit. This weekend, I hit up, I ain't forgetting all the shit that I do, but so Sunday, Saturday, I had a few shows. I was at New York, did a couple shows in New York, did a show up in Comedy in Harlem. That shit was fun. Shout out to my man, Joe Marks. He's a conversationalist. Mm-hmm. And he's a comedian, but we chopped it up. He's chopped it up with me like in the DMs before, but I never met him before. And he said, "Yo, man, I really like the podcast. You know, I always like to meet a conversation." I was like, "Oh shit, all right, bad." But yeah, he's a comedian too. I haven't seen him on stage yet, but you know what I mean, cool cat. So salute to that brother. But Comedy in Harlem, that shit was fun. New York, that shit was fun. Mm-hmm. You know, running around the city doing that. Then Sunday, I ran up in the Met real quick to go to that little Superfine, you know, the Black Dandy exhibit that they got over there still. Okay. Shit the Met Gala was about. I wanted to go check that out.
Is it American or just international?
It's mainly American. I think there's a little bit of international, like a little bit of European or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's mainly the U.S., you know what I'm saying, going back to slavery and to current day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was cool, man. It was cool. It's just, you know, it's nice to see some of the stuff. It just, you know, makes you appreciate good tailoring. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, good tailoring and never go out of style. Good, mm-hmm. you know, way back, there was a cat. I don't know if he was a slave or he was just recently freed. All I know is he had some cool ass leather slacks on. That nigga looked free at last. He could have just been fresh off the plantation. He put the fucking leather slacks on. He took a photo like on a couch chilling with some leather pieces on. Them shits look cool. He looked like a cool motherfucker. Now they say you don't want to look like what you've been through. Mm-hmm. This was that era where shit was definitely not easy breezy. So yeah, that shit was cool. But there was, you know, it was a lot of different looks and outfits. And then from there, I left there and I went down the block, hit up the they had the summer stage. They had the originals out. You know,
how's this
you know
one?
What I mean? Yeah. Went to that joint and it was cool. It was, you could definitely, you know, you could definitely feel Clark Kent's absence, you know, rest in peace, Clark Kent, but you could definitely feel his absence.
I don't know who the Originals is. If they
so the Originals is a DJ collective and it is, and I'm not sure if these are the originals, but I believe it's Rich Medina, Tony Touch, Clark Kent, Stretch Armstrong, and D-Nice. And I don't believe I'm leaving anybody. I think it's the five of them. Mm. And they've been spending together for at least probably at least 10 years, maybe even longer than that. All over doing parties and shit. You know, they've been doing summer stage for probably for a while. You know what I mean? And what's cool is, you know, it's five, kind of like five different styles. You know what I mean? So it's a nice little party. And I don't know, I'd heard that D-Nice might have got on later on. I didn't even stay. I got there, I think I got there a little too early. You know what I'm saying? Like, I planned to get there as early as I did, but you ever run a plan and then you get to the spot, you're like, damn, nigga, I'm super early. This shit going on till 10. I'm here till 5. And I was like, and it was one of those moments where I had in my head, like, there's a couple thoughts I had. First thought I had was, I'm planning my outside shit differently next summer, but even for the remainder of this summer. Like, I'm planning, I'm about to get my amenities on deck. There's going to be certain amenities for the summertime that I'm going to keep in the trunk during the summer months. Mm-hmm. I need a blanket. I might need, like, I got a thermos. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I might need, I felt this way the other day when I went to go get these tickets. I might need to get me one of them, and I've said it before, I need one of them little chairs. Mm-hmm. You know, these are things, these are essentials now, and I need that, because what I noticed about this, no disrespect to the crowd, no disrespect, but, you know, shit, I'm getting older, and it was funny, because the night at Comedy in Harlem, every comic was talking about getting older, and it was just different stages of niggas getting older, but, you know, as you get older, you start to move from demo to demo. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you move it from demo to demo, you might be at the onset of the new demo and that demo look older than the demo you're used to. And you're like, oh shit, I'm with the old heads. This is an old head event. Like, this is an old head event. Yes, the ONs. Far from the YNs. This is the ONs. This is a trickle of YNs. And they wasn't even YNs. They just, you know what I mean? I hate the term YN anyway, but you know. But anyway, this is the OGs. They not only did they have their blankets, they had their children in tow. You know what I'm saying? Like, it felt a different generation. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh shit, okay, this was going on here. This is something. This is interesting. Felt a little anthropological. But anyway, I chilled. And this was so funny. This is a funny thing, a cultural thing too. So summer stage, so it's outside, right? It's Rumsey Playfield, right? And it's outside on the lawn, but it's not the lawn. It's AstroTurf, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody got their, you know, their blankets. For the most part, everybody got their blankets. Most of the black people are sitting down, they on a blanket. Damn near all of the black people are sitting down on a blanket. It's white folks that was there, they were going straight copper squat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I was standing for a while, and I was like, I kind of want to sit down. And I was just looking at the cultural profile of it. I ain't got no blanket. I'm about to just raw daddy on the lawn. But I noticed, I was like, oh, this is fucking AstroTurf. So I sat down because it's not going to stain like grass. But even still, I felt the way. I'm like, this shit feel weird just sitting on the fucking grass.
Raw dog in life.
Yeah, just raw dog in life, man. That shit's come up so many times in various sectors. I tell you what, and I didn't this day. I didn't do it. Like, not that I'm trying not to drink, but I don't really need to drink all the time. Sometimes certain contexts are so familiar with some liquor that it's very easy to just get it because it just fits the context. You know what I'm saying? You outside of the event. Like, that was one of the things. I was like, damn, this is some shit you bring a bottle to. Bottle of wine or some beers or something. Like, this just, it fits the setting, right? I'm like, but I really don't need that. You know what I'm saying? I got me a little Liquid Death, and I had to get beyond that. I've finally gotten over the name Liquid Death, but like, I like how they put the water in the little tall boy can, so you feel like you're cracking a beer, but it's really like a seltzer, and that shit do the trick because this shit is cold and wet. You know what I mean? Whatever. But I'm just thinking about that shit, and also on the 9th, August 9th, dog, that shit's been 5 years since a nigga quit smoking tree. Damn. So that shit felt
crazy.
Sober
doba out here.
Sober. I don't know if I'm trying to be, but I feel like I don't really necessarily need to be lit all the time. Like, if I'm going to do it, it's going to be on occasion type shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got to, you know what I mean? Like, and what the part of it was, which I realized, and you know, was interesting. I had this other moment where, because I was dolo, you know what I'm saying? I was doing a dolo just by myself out there, Han Dolo, you know what I mean? And I had one of the moments where I'm just like, I'm out here loner Larry, you know what I'm saying? Just on my loner shit. But I see, like, this is the thing. You know, there's OGs at the shit, and there's families and shit like that. But it's also, like, the OG loners. You know what I'm saying? I seen how the OG loners just kind of move around. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some just, because sometimes when you just be dolo by yourself, I could kind of get in my head like, damn, I should have told some. I should have came. You know what I mean? Why am I here by dolo like this? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just enjoying the situation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around, I'm seeing motherfuckers just chilling, just enjoying it. Is what it is. It's life. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's me. I will loan a Larry some shit real easy, especially down here, because I don't really know nobody like that. Not many people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But there was an occasion where we went to the spot. You know, people invited me to the spot. Like, yo, what time? You know what I'm saying? Yo, you know, it opened at 3, you know what I'm saying? People get there about 6, blah, say, woo, woo, woo. I'm like, cool. You know what I'm saying? So I get there like 5:45 or something. Boy, I was there by my motherfucking self, nigga.
It was nobody there?
Nah, maybe one or two other people. You know what I'm saying? Then I had got a little table. Mm-hmm. So the table out there with the table spots, and then I'm like, man, I can't go sit out there. You know what I'm saying? So I stayed in the inside where the little bar was and had a little meal by myself in there. Then, you know what I'm saying? 6 o'clock was way the fuck too early. They shouldn't have never told me 6 o'clock. Nobody was there at 6 o'clock. I'm in that bitch dolo. My people ain't get there about 7:30. You know what I'm saying?
That shit for like hours.
Now I'm looking like a chump, you know what I'm saying? But I rolled it out. My people came, you know what I'm saying? We sat down at the thing. It got to cracking. But I done been here 3, 4, 5 hours at this point.
Right. You know, the whole lay of the land. You know
it ain't even, it ain't nothing to know. Because it's like, man, fuck. If I do this again, it won't be this early. I tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt. That's how I felt at the joint. I was like, damn, I'm early as shit. The sun ain't go down. Like, because the party's going to change when the sun goes down. I'm still there for the early crate. You know what I mean? The early crate is a different party altogether. I'm judging the party based off the early crate.
The early DJ judging you. Judging him. Yeah. Like, this nigga must think I'm tripping.
Right.
Why this nigga here? Shit.
No, but the funny thing was they was all there. Like, there's no opening DJ. They just stay cycle. So it's still them, but they just got their early crate. And they're still playing some shit. Because, like I said, the demo, there's a lot of motherfuckers there early because it's the demo. You know what I mean? Some people going to leave at 7. You know what I mean? So it's going to be what it's going to be. But I, at the same time, I'm not beating myself up over that. Like, because I could call some people, yo, let's go to this such and such. But sometimes I do like just moving solo because I just like to be able to move when I want to move. Like, if it's like, all right, let me get out of here. You know what I'm saying? This was cool, blah, 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 blah. Or if I want to, you know, pull an audible or whatever, I don't really have to consult with nobody. I like company, but sometimes I like being dolo, and I'm not going to, like, make myself feel bad about that shit, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt. You know. But as a grown person, man, I will show up in that bitch by myself, man.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Sit down at the motherfucker bar and
enjoy myself.
And be in the cut and chill, enjoy the shit, dip. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I ain't got no qualms about it. I go, you know what I'm saying? When I was down here, like going back and forth, you know, you eat at the restaurant. I live at the hotel. So you here for months in the hotel, you just, shit. I'm so used to walking in, just sitting at the bar. I go to any fancy place. You know what I'm saying? No reservation. Boom, walk to the bar, sit down, and grown folk that shit.
Nah, I dig it. I dig it. I'm the same way. I'll be solo dolo. Ah, shit, man. What else? Anything else you want to talk about before we take
a trip? I think I'm Big Beach, Larry Hoover.
Might as well get to it then, man. And
whip and work.
You know what I mean? Hallelujah. What it do? Listen, y'all. Spoilers ahead. You already know. But spoilers ahead. Just FYI, if this is your first time listening, we about to spoil some shit. We about to talk about BMF Season 4, Episode 9, Point of No Return. Yeah, man. You want to kick it off? Go ahead.
Yeah, man. BMF, we getting down to the get down. You know, it's the season finale coming up. So all of the parts are starting to come together, per se. I don't know what they got left in Mexico, because, you know, we started off in Mexico this time, and the Federales was on them, you know what I'm saying? Started busting them things, you know what I'm saying? Killed the driver right off the rip, you know what I'm saying?
Only bullet to connect.
Yes, the sole bullet to connect, you know what I mean? The first shot, pow!
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, Big Meech and them grabbed the guns, but they took a very long time to start shooting. I don't know what that was about. I think it was an editing thing, but
okay, like, nigga, shoot back. I gotta watch that part back. But they ain't even cover themselves. They just straight out the window.
Ain't much else to cover when the motherfucker is shooting machine guns at you.
Yeah, that's true. I guess
spraying it up. So, and then, you know, we in TV land, so, you know, you gotta suspend your imagination. They got out of there though. You know what I mean? Then we back in, where we at? Where we went first this year?
I think we kicked it off. Atlanta. We went to, they pulling the cover off of Laz.
Yeah, they found Laz shot in the mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Bryant, who he is employed by the Atlanta PD now, I guess, because
he's employing people in the APD.
He is leading the investigation not a job in sight.
Mm-hmm. Employee of the month. No key card.
You know what I'm saying? But his homie is holding them down. His homie from the Red Dogs is holding them down.
Uh-huh.
So they find Laz, and they start putting it together. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, this must be connected to BMF. But Brian was like, but this ain't Big Meech style. He don't do shit like this. You know what I'm saying? It's not his MO. Then it's like, somebody did it. You know what I mean? And so they pulled the tape from the what do they call that place? What's it called? Paradise?
Paradise. Platinum Paradise.
Platinum Paradise or something like that. So they pulled the tape.
The Regal Beagle.
I mean, at a certain point, I feel like they spent all of the locations money in Mexico. So
we only got
two places to go, you know.
cheers. Old Faithful. Yep.
Meech House, you know what I'm saying? The strip club. So, you know, Brian and them, they go in, pull the tapes. They see us. B. Mick did the shooting. Well, he's the last nigga seen with him. He got in the car with him. Then he explains that B. Mick is a BMF shooter from Detroit. You know what I'm saying? They haven't put it together that B. Mick is out here running rogue plays. So, you know, I guess we'll get to that next week. So, you know, T is back in the A fussing with Meech. You know what I mean? I think they're fussing and their fissure is coming to a real break at this point. You know what I'm saying? It feels that way. Feel like mm-hmm. they're getting to the point where it's getting a little disrespectful. It's getting a little, you know, T gonna have to go on his own, do his own thing, it seems like. So they fussing about the shit. Meech still, he was like, nah, Laz is family. He wouldn't do no shit like that. Even though Laz came up to him talking that safe house shit, stuttering and then dipped. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, please.
He tried to tell you he ratted. He tried to confess. He was trying to tell
you. The little stutter in his voice was telling you. You should know that. And all the safe houses got hit, too. You know what I'm saying? You should know that. But anyway.
Wolfies was too loud at the Platinum Paradise. That was the problem.
Right. T tried to tell him, you know what I'm saying, your boy is a snitch and da-da-da. He's like, man, fuck you, T. You know what I'm saying? The man family until proven otherwise. No go. Go take this fool to his grandma and tell her we're going to pay for the wedding. I mean, the funeral, my bad. But I'm talking about the wedding. We're going to pay for the funeral. So.
T was like, we ain't paying for no rat's funeral.
Fuck you, T. Yeah. Who the fuck you brought around here? That's why you ain't got nobody want to work for you. That's why you had to go get B. Mick. Yeah, so they in a bad place right now. Nicole having the baby, you know, they rushed her. She had the baby, you know what I mean? They had to do an emergency C-section, you know what I'm saying? Lucille, the funny part is Lucille called Charles.
Man.
Let him know. He all happy as shit. He trying to figure shit out. She like, just get your ass on the plane now. He's like, God damn.
Why does she talk to that man like that, man?
Like, damn, she a happy mom. Why you got to be all on me like that?
Balking, he just taking his stride now. It is what it is.
He get your ass on the plane now. She ain't at church no more. Now she can cuss.
Right.
So anyway, you got that Nikki having the baby. She went on ahead and named the baby Demetrius anyway. After Meech told her not to. She gonna do what she wanna do. And that all comes back when the brothers are fussing and fighting and da-da-da-da-da, nigga, it's your fault, bop ding ding. That's why Nicole named her baby Demetrius, nigga. Like, damn, nigga, you below the belt ass, nigga. You ain't even wanting to do it, but you high signing. Anyway, they convinced Loco to go ahead and set the meeting in L.A. with the plug. Loco say he couldn't go because he got beef with the cartel. You know what I'm saying? So they went on out there to L.A. Man. So we had a L.A. moment. It was like a T-Move version of Issa Rae joint.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like everybody drive down that same street.
Yeah.
Same one block. Yeah,
but the Hollywood sign shot was a little off. It looked like they pulled that from somebody's phone and shit. Like, damn, we need a Hollywood sign. Shit.
Yeah, shit. Who got one? The budget is tapped. Anybody got? Go on.
Go on out there to Sunset and get the Hollywood sign for me.
Go somewhere Instagram. But I ain't gonna lie, I kind of reacted the same way T did when I saw the Hollywood sign for the first time. That shit is iconic. It's one of those things. There's only a couple things in the world that has made me that, the Eiffel Tower. There's certain places that you see in like textbooks and TV, and when you see that shit in real life, it's
I definitely went up there and took a picture, man.
You went all the way up there?
I was up on the hill, yeah. But this was the strangest shit ever, man. Cause the first time I went to LA was what year was that? It was 2007. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or early eight. So it was either December or January 2007, 8.
I gotta be earlier than that.
Not 2000.
First time you went to...
Not 2000. Oh, damn, I'm getting this shit fucked up. Y'all excuse me. Not 2000. It was 97-98.
Okay,
97-98. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And so the nigga that picked me up from the airport, he was a record promoter. And I was the GM at the radio station. And I was out there for the Gavin conference. You know what I'm saying? And just one of the record promoters like, yo, when you come, just hit me, I'll pick you up, da da da. And I don't know this nigga from nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And nigga picked me up. It's an old school nigga. He an old school cat from Chicago, but he in LA, he was an ex-pimp. You know what I'm saying? He grew up with Bishop Don Juan. That's what how old school he was, right?
Okay.
So the nigga picked me up in a you could tell he had like a Seville, an old school Seville that was custom dyed with his name on the fucking Mark Mats and shit. And right. then he was like, "Yo, you want to see the Hollywood sign?" I was like, "Yeah." He took me all the way up to the top. I took the picture. we went by his spot. He had all these old. He had all the old school cars that he had. He had about 7 of them, a Vette, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. A couple Cadillacs, the one that we was in, and all of them had the custom, his name on the pat on the rugs and shit. But anyway, that's how I got up to the Hollywood sign. So yeah, well, it is a moment.
Yeah, no, that's what's up. That's what's up, man.
Shout out to Featherstone, man.
Featherstone.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still around, but shout out to Featherstone.
That's a tough name, Featherstone. That definitely sounds like an ex-pimp. Ex-pimp make good tour guides.
Oh, they know them streets. They know what to do.
Exactly. They know exactly what's going on here and there.
And he had to let me know, too, because he was like, yeah, I grew up with the Bishop. You know what I'm saying? Da-da-da. He was like, and I guess he was like, you don't believe me. I'm like, I don't, shit, how I'm supposed to know? He called Don Juan Mama. He's like, yeah, how you doing, Mama?
Oh, wow.
Like, oh, this nigga got to let me know.
Right.
So it was a moment in time, man. But anyway, Meech and them touched down in L.A. They got the hood Sherpa showing them through. You know what I'm saying? Telling them about the Bloods and the Crips. He a Crip. You know what I'm saying? Reverend Martin Luther Meech is preaching his Together Get Green plan. You know what I'm saying? What's all the beefing for? We buy that green. You know? They go to see the plug for a quick second. You know what I'm saying? Plug, you know. Just look them in the eye, you know what I'm saying, make sure they straight. Then they set up the meeting for the next day. Meech is eyeballing this girl like Scarface was eyeballing a man girl. So I don't think that's going to go nowhere, but that's a point of reference that they threw in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then,
which feels a little cliche, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it is the era. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Yeah, it was the era. Scarface wasn't but about 6 years old at that point, 7 years old, so. I could see why they would do it, but you know.
Right.
So my man telling him about the Magic Johnson Midsummer Night parties and shit. Basketball's tournament and parties that Magic used to do. I never been to them, but I used to hear about them all the time. You know? So they go to that joint, of course, you know, they get into a scuffle. Now, I really don't know what started that scuffle. And why Meech jumped in, but I guess it was the dude that was with him that was scuffling?
Yeah, they was beating Mua.
Okay, because I couldn't really see who it was.
Yeah, he's a Crip and they Bloods, so they hit him with a bottle, and they just started beating his ass. And you know Meech can't wait to throw hands.
Muhammad Ah Meech.
Exactly. That's one of the things.
Ain't lost a fight this motherfucker since they started.
Not at all. Not at all. He do not miss a scrap. That's kind of how he gets acquainted with the city he's in. You gotta have a dance at least once. Yeah.
So he swung a couple bottles and knocked the nigga too far.
Yeah, that was crazy. I say this though about the Midsummer Night. First of all, that shit looked fire. And I remember hearing about it, but I never really seen that was fire. But what I liked about that scene, that party was real inclusive. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like it had all types. It wasn't all types of like body types. You know what I'm saying? It had some regular people in there, had some fly motherfuckers in there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just looked like the community. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like it was just in one direction. Like, that shit looked like it was a real, like, a culmination of the people in the spot. Mm-hmm. Like, it was cool. So I thought that was kind of fly. I was going to say something else, though. It's one thing, and I'll go back to it, but because after the fight, Meech realizes his medallion is gone, his diamond BMF piece,
right?
And that nigga don't really see. I mean, that was the whole reason to have the meat, you know what I mean? But he turned it to,
you know, I'm going to give you a deal. You know, Monty Hall again, like he pitching prosperity to the people.
Yeah.
But he don't even ask him. He don't even give a fuck about his medallion at all, which is weird.
Well, he out there showing off that nigga, we rich and I can make you rich. That's what he's selling.
I'm the face of opportunity. I'm the only nigga here trying to get all of y'all niggas getting some money together. I'm the only nigga. And what I love is how they all give him an audience.
Right.
Nobody get hostile. They hear his pitch out.
Right.
I will tell you that's one thing about Meech, boy. I ain't gonna lie. Be like Meech. That nigga Meech, sky's the limit. He'll never be too disappointed. Well, he's a little disappointed later on, but you know, like, he is aspirational and positive. That motherfucker, boy.
Yeah, man. You rapping Martin Luther, man. You know,
rapping
so
Martin Luther Meech.
People together. Mm-hmm. Bring the people together. You know what I'm saying?
He's a god.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they go meet with the plug. You know what I'm saying? Again, he reiterated that he the black Escobar. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? They go sit down. You know, they run their pitch, but then they had to let me be forthright with you, brother. There's a lot going on in the A right now. We're a little hot out there. We gonna fix it though, cause that's what we do. And then, you know, it's an easy little thing where the plug's like, I'm glad you're honest. I already know about the Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Again, a little cliche, but, you know.
He passed the test.
He passed the test. You know what I'm saying? He good. He agreed to let him open up L.A., you know what I'm saying? And then he'll fuck with Atlanta again once it cooled down. So they got to get that together. So, shit. Hold on right quick. So after the meeting, so anything else happened at that meeting? My bad.
At the, well, that's when they found out that Loco was killed.
Yeah, that's what, go ahead, tell them about it.
Okay, so Loco, first of all, it was like, Loco was like, yeah, I got a problem with that cartel. Loco, I don't know how many cartels Loco had a problem
with. And we don't know why he had a problem with them.
No.
That shit was just a glitch in the goddamn story. But go ahead.
Yeah, so Loco had a problem with that cartel, but, so he's out in Miami on the phone with Meech and shit. You know what I mean? He's saying, oh, everything's going good. Cool. All right. Well, I'll see you soon. And I seen that set, that just that shot. I was like, oh, he's about to be blown the fuck up. So there's that. So Loco, he's blown up. Manuel breaks the news to T and Meech that Loco is dead. T don't give a fuck about Loco. T's like, well, is the deal still going through?
That Loco nigga don't take his ass, man.
Yeah, that nigga never forgot about that.
T ain't like Meech, man.
Not at all.
He ain't got an olive branch for niggas, man.
This nigga, that nigga, T was like, is the deal still on the table? He didn't give a fuck.
It's
Meech
just
was sad. That just enough of that nigga, I'm killing myself, man. That nigga Meech was sad and reflective. He taught me everything I knew. It's like, oh, all right, Meech. So there's that. Because
when you met the nigga, you seemed to know everything.
You know, you thought you knew the whole shit, but now he giving him his props after he dead. You know what I mean? But then also, last time Loco and T was kicking it, Loco called T Gordito, and that kind of got under his skin too, so... I think he felt the way. So when he found that that nigga, you know, perished, he was like, hey, listen, bygones is bygones. But again, are we going to be able to get that supply?
Right.
So there's that.
And then T tried to throw in the, and I need everything to run by me too.
Yeah, right. He tried to, you know, make sure he CC'd on all the emails. And, you know, Meech, do not fuck with that shit.
At all.
There was one little thing that I forgot. There was one moment that I thought was pretty interesting. Right before they went back to go see, Pops flew back to go see the baby. That Pops and B. Mickey moment when B. Mickey pulled up on
Man, that is a crucial moment, y'all.
Yeah, he pulled up.
So break that shit down, though. Get that shit a little justice.
So B. Mickey looking like he about to break into Meech's crib. He got the fucking the screwdriver ready to pry into the shit. And he pulling up. He actually got into the body language of a nigga that's about to do dirt. You remember my man from Menace when he did that little run?
Oh, his little run across the street?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was going to come back like that.
Exactly.
Blasting.
B. Mickey was about to get in that stride and old Charles opened the door. And he's like, oh, shit. He put this little flathead screwdriver in his back pocket. Says, hey, Mr. Charles, how you doing? Hey, Brian, what's up with you, man? What's going on? Ah, man, I just came here, wanted to drop something off to Meech. And Meech ain't here, Mr. Charles peeped the little gun imprint. He said, oh, really? He said, that's what's up. He said, listen, don't you come back down here to Atlanta on a Wednesday without your wife and your child and expect me to think that you still work at the plant.
Right.
Boy, you still in the streets. I'm so disappointed in your ass. I could have gave that money to some other motherfuckers.
A hard working family.
Nah, man. And then you trying to piece things up with me strapped? Come on, brother. You know what I mean?
I see you, nigga. I ain't out there, but I know a nigga when I see one because I used to be one. Nigga.
Yeah, nigga. Come on now. I suggest you don't come back around here, man. Stay
cool. Like, oh, man, let's go inside and hash it. Nah, nigga. You keep it moving.
This outside. Yeah, take it easy. Mr. Charles shut him down, and he got the call, got fussed out by Lucille, had to get on the jet. You know what I'm saying?
Saving the world, getting cussed out at the high.
Nigga, get your ass on the flight.
You know what I'm saying? Then we flashed to be Mick's old lady out at the park.
What's her name again? Aisha? Alicia?
Man, I didn't even know who it was for real, though. I had to watch the storyline, dog.
Okay. Uh-huh. I forget her name.
She got very few lines in this flick, man.
Yeah.
So, so she out there, you know, talking the talk with the other mothers, and I don't know how a big black ass motherfucker come in and just take a kid, but he does, and then we turned out and found that it was Lamar back on the scene, ready to exact the revenge. He looking good, he looking clean, skin looking fresh, you know what I'm saying? Bullet, you know, the bullet wounds don't never be hurting nobody in this show. So only T.I. is the only victim of bullets in this show. Everybody else heal and be good.
You fucked me up when you said only T.I. I'm thinking Clifford Harris. You
no.
Said T.I. Gotcha. Yeah, man. Yeah, he's the only one. I'm not going to lie, and I guess you shouldn't blame the victim, but I did think Moms was a little lax. Like, she should have told her daughter, come on a little closer. When she started to get out of range, she should have said, hey, yo, come pull up over here. And then she got missing. But Lamar
stole the baby, you know what I'm saying? Then ran out, you know, then he, you know, doing all of the, you know what I'm saying, kidnap shit. Hey, kid, it's a dog present for you. How's a dog sound?
Stuffed animal.
Woof, woof. That's right. I had a dog named Blackie, too.
Man, yo, that was a funny moment, though, where she was like, yeah, I had a daughter, too. Zoe, but she don't speak to me ever since her moms went to heaven. You know, I wish I could be with both of them, but I, you know, it's just very sad. You look over at V, she's like, woof, woof. It's like, fuck. What you expect this little kid to say, though? You know what I mean? This little kid,
help,
therapist.
Mama.
Yeah. Oh, man, that little kid was so fucking comfortable in the
hearse.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I guess she ain't got no context for a hearse, though. Man. She ain't seen nobody go down. Man. She just beat the hearse herself. She was going to be in the hearse 3 weeks ago until T saved the day.
Right.
But anyway.
Meech cussed his ass out about that, too. Once he found out, B-Mick was there.
Yeah.
And T, it's fucked up because both of them make some decisions that fuck shit up. But, you know, T made some decisions that brought this shit into play.
They both bogging out. And I guess back to the point of they're both still fairly young, so they're going to make these mistakes. And the fact that they not on the same page, each person's mistake could affect the other one in a whole nother, because they're not going to stay, going to be blindsided. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But so that was that. Couple things real quick. I mean, we still got more shit, but just a couple things just real quick to double back on. Fucking Nicole. First of all, Nicole picked her mom's when it was time to go back and get that emergency C-section. Sure. And yeah, which makes perfect sense. But also, that's Worm's baby. You know what I'm saying? That baby got out that bitch looking like a linebacker. Hell yeah, Pop saw that shit. She's like, oh, no, look just like him, right?
He's like, yeah, he handsome.
Yeah, nice looking boy. Nice looking boy.
And she talking about we about to move out and move in together. Yeah, you better go to college.
You better do something with your life. But I like how Charles, as much as she be blacking on him and if they not together, he still know how to handle her. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right now. Especially now to get in the way, like in between her and Nicole.
Right,
it's like,
right.
All right now.
Just come go, on, let's walk on now. Let's walk on now.
It's not the time for that shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, Meech and the makeup artist, they might have fell out. She was trying to be there for him.
He in beef mode, so his answer to it all is, I can't do that love shit you're talking about.
No.
Let's go to the goddamn palace.
Uh-huh.
What?
She's like, yeah, I'm not a party girl. So he pulled a party girl back to the spot.
And then he go to the palace. But he like us. Went to that motherfucker by himself. Mm-hmm. Sat at the bar, drank one nigga bottle. Ain't never of got Chris. No glass. That nigga don't never. Need no glass.
Never. A whole bottle. Bring Shorty home, make her some pancakes on some Prince shit.
And then she she ran some street philosophy to him. He was like, okay, you get it. Okay.
What'd she say? She said something that sounded slick in the moment. It wasn't much, but it was, something about. But so that was that.
We got Markeisha out there who in the Benz, you know what I'm saying? She in the coupe, you know what I'm saying? With the hammers on that motherfucker. And crash out of nowhere.
Because she told too much to that girl.
Because she told too much Kia. To the girl who was connected to Boom in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
Now, she should have known
trying
that.
Trying to flex, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got a new partner.
Yeah.
What was she trying to do anyway? She paid for the girl to go to school and shit.
I don't know. I think she just tried to keep her in pocket because that girl
said,
works.
Thank you for paying for me to go back to school.
Yeah, but that girl worked at, or Mike Still works at a like social service or whatever. She get addresses and shit on people.
Right.
She put her in a position to get in touch with certain people.
Right.
So I think maybe she wanted to keep her close. And she kind of wanted to let her know, like, you know what I mean? There's more where that come from. You know what I mean?
You and might we girls, be, like, you know what I'm saying? It's girl power.
Yeah, and Shorty was not with the girl power shit because that girl power didn't pay that much back then.
The girl told her from the trip. She's like, girl, you know the streets talk. So this nigga, boom. T-boned her, you know what I'm saying? And, he came out and himself, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he don't know how to do
this nigga
it.
Jump up. You around here getting this money for T and not your husband? And you going to make me act like this? Why you make me act like this? He should have just started slapping his head to keep it real, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
real cliche with it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So. I thought he was going to shoot her.
Yeah, but nothing happened. It was like a dead end piece of the story for this week.
Yeah.
It was like, okay.
Shit. But that's true. What else happened?
Then Lamar, he got the baby. Then the mama, you know what I'm saying? She starts filling out a report, blah, 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 home by herself. Ends up, Lamar is at the crib. You know what I'm saying? Where the fuck Mickey at? That's when we learned that B. Mick and Lamar was in it together in the beginning, and then Lamar kind of switched out. But why didn't Lamar just kill him then? If he was going to
So Lamar switched out on B. Mickey didn't switch out on Lamar?
B. Mickey switched out on Lamar. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
He shot Lamar. Why didn't he just kill him then?
I think he thought he did kill him.
Oh, that's right.
He was trying to kill him. Yeah, he thought, because remember they looked back and that nigga was gone.
Right.
But he don't, B. Mickey don't really move like a nigga that he tried to kill that's still alive is in the world. Like, he don't move with that. Yeah. But B. Mickey, he's always been with.
I thought this nigga was dead or something.
But yeah, but the body was gone. Like, he should have known.
B. Mick looked inside the body or he just left? We saw the body gone.
We saw the body gone. And then the other thing is, I thought at that moment, that's when Meech realized B. Mickey, they was good with B. Mickey again because he saved his life because they had that little problem.
Meech wasn't with it. You know what I'm saying? He was like, man, go on, why the fuck you around us? Man, I said, fuck you.
Right. Yeah. And then he shot Lamar, who had shot at them. He killed Lamar, allegedly. It looked like he killed Lamar. I thought at that point, Meech was like, oh, all right.
No, no, that's when Meech was like, fuck you, man. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You ain't part of this family, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's when Meech said that after the Lamar shit.
Got you. What else? I have a question. Do you think Manuel is the cops?
Who?
Manuel, the new connect in Cali.
Nah.
Something feels.
I mean, he might be the nigga who in there. Nah, I don't know what the fuck happened. I never read the story on the plug. It's a plug that they be showing in the pictures, but I never really read the story. So I don't have no idea what
I always forget this is based on some shit, some real shit.
Yeah.
The
nigga named Green Eyes or some shit they be showing on the pictures, but I never read the story.
Okay. What else did we forget? I think that's it. I had the thought. I don't think it's true, but I guess because we'll find out later on. But I was like, it made me think, what if Lil Meech is really Big Meech's nephew and not his son?
Damn.
You know what I mean? After all that.
Lil Meech is Big Meech's nephew. But Lil Meech got a mama. And they ain't the sister. It ain't the sister, though.
Oh, okay.
He got a mama that ain't the sister. They lived in Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, because he went to school with my nieces. In Miami. Oh,
okay, bet.
Yeah.
Small world. Okay, bet. And the one thing I did, Pete, as I said, this nigga Lamar get a solo, like damn near every chance he get. Boy, he get a little singing time.
What he sang? In the car.
Yeah, he sang a little bit in the car.
He stole his ass and driving all the way to Atlanta in a hearse. They ain't got no seat.
Not no seat at all. She zip tied up. She can't, you know what I mean? That shit is very uncomfortable.
They ain't got no seat.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. I think that's it. That's all of the shit. I'm trying to think, do I got any other little notes that I saw? Cali is the titty capital of the world.
Right. Yeah, but then they ain't show no, you know what I'm saying?
No titties.
No good ones.
Yeah, they could have showed a little bit more of a sample.
Because it was like, God damn, look at them. They showed them. It was like, really? Okay.
those are early fake titties.
I know. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no Instagram back then.
Let me see, man. Yeah, I think that's about all.
All right.
There you go. Well, we got one last episode. I don't know if you saw the little preview, but it's a whole lot of gun busting. A lot of bullets flying, of course. Of course, niggas will not get hit, but it's a lot of bullets flying. for a hot second, I had this thought, but it don't look like it. But I had the thought where I was like, was Bryant going to look out for B. Mickey? Because he looked like he had a moment when he found that gun in the radiator at the motel. Mm. And it looked like, because he flashed back to Kevin and... you know what I mean? I forget exactly what that...
Now, Bryant had that gun, that illegal gun that he took home and started putting it in the evidence. And that's what he was blackmailing B. Mick with. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the gun that
I think that's the same gun. I don't know, but how would B. Mick get it back after Kevin killed himself? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It got something to do with that. Because that's what he was holding over B. Mick's head, that he had the gun.
Right. Uh-oh. Might fuck Bryant's whole shit up.
Somebody need to fuck his shit up. He ain't taking no L's this season.
Nah, this nigga might lose. He might get laid off from a job he never working at. That's it. I mean, next week is the finale. We will see what happens. We'll see what it all turns out to. It's going to be what it's going to be. I mean, I don't, you know. You got any...
Mm-mm. I'm gonna enjoy.
Yeah, that's basically the same shit. I'm curious. The one thing that I am curious that I wonder if they're gonna tie that up or do something with it. If they're gonna have any resolution, and we find out that's not Breeze's kid. I don't know why. I just want to see that. I don't know if Big Worm, because before a hot second I thought Big Worm was gonna run up in the hospital and be like, "My baby." But we'll see. But I want to see what happens with that. That's the only thing I'm really interested in. Everything else is going to be what?
At Be Out Day, I did. Uh-huh. Nicole, the actor, her real mother, she was at BI.
Oh, right. You said you went to school with her, right?
Yeah, she went to fam. So I saw her out there. So, oh, Nicole, yeah. Mama.
That's what it is. You told her moms Nicole doing a good job.
Nah, I did do all that. But,
there you go. All right. Well, shit. It is time. Speaking of be out, it's time for us to be out. Shit. As always, tell a friend to tell a friend,
and even an enemy,
to get in a conversation.
Conversations.